If you're a school student, you probably wear a school uniform. If you're in the army, you probably wear an army uniform. I'm a reverend. I could wear a clerical collar, but I don't. But I could, and that would show you who I am. If you're from the Lower North Shore, where I've just come from, you wear a white linen shirt and R.M. Williams boots. If you're from the Shire, you wear a singlet and thongs. Sorry, couldn't resist. Now, it'd be pretty silly, wouldn't it, if your identity changed and you didn't change your clothes. So you leave school, you graduate, but 10 years later, you're still wearing your uniform. That'd be ridiculous. Now, why am I talking about clothes? Because the passage we just heard read uses the metaphor of clothing and how when your identity changes, you should change your clothes. Not literal clothes. It's talking about your lifestyle. Put off and put on. Put off the old way of life before you came to know Jesus and all of those habits and behaviors. Now you're a Christian. Now you know Jesus. Now your sins have been forgiven. So, put on. Put on the new life that God has called you to live. Your identity has changed. Now, before we start, we've got to be really careful because it's very easy to read a passage like this and think this is what it's saying. Think it's saying, stop doing all those bad things like everyone else out there. Put that off. Instead, obey God, follow his word, and then God will love you. And then you'll make it to heaven. It is so easy to read this passage like that. And when you do that, you know, all it makes you is a self-righteous hypocrite. Because you're sitting here in church going, I'm not like everyone else out there. They're doing all those things. I don't do that. I've put on this new life. I'm living like this. And so God loves me and so I'm saved. No, that's like saying that a pilot is a pilot because they're wearing the uniform. Or a school student is a school student because they're wearing the uniform. The uniform doesn't make them a student. The uniform reveals that they are a student. You see the difference? And so this passage is saying you have this new identity and you didn't deserve it. You're saved by grace. We saw that a few weeks ago. It's all through what Jesus did on the cross. In response, put on the new identity that you already have. Live it out. And stop living your old lifestyle. There's a story of St. Augustine. You know St. Augustine, the old member from church history. And St. Augustine, you may not know this, he used to be a sex addict before he became a Christian. Once he was going for a walk and he came across this woman who he used to have sexual relations with. And the woman said to him, "Hi, Augustine." And he was polite, but he kind of kept walking. Said hello, but kept walking. And the woman turned around and said to him, "Augustine, don't you know it's me?" And he said with a smile, "Yes, but it is no longer me." He had come to know Jesus. His identity had changed. And he'd put on the new life, the new self that God had called him to live. And that is true for every follower of Jesus today. Our passage begins, verse 17. You look down in the Bibles. Ephesians 4, verse 17, it says, "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking." Now, Paul is actually writing to Gentiles in Ephesus. So I think he's saying, don't live like those who don't know Jesus live. The people in the world who don't know who God is, who don't follow Jesus, don't live like that. You think many Christians live just the same as everyone else in the world. We like to be like chameleons, that we just blend in with society. Don't want to stand out too much in our universities or our workplaces. But God's saying, don't live the same way as everyone else. That's your old self. Look at how he describes how people who don't know Jesus live. Verse 18, firstly he says, they've got darkened minds. Verse 18, they are darkened in their understanding. It's not talking about their IQ. If you're here this morning and you're not yet a Christian, don't be offended. I'm not saying that you have a lower IQ. What's it saying? It's saying that their understanding, they don't know who God is. They don't consider who God is. They don't care about God's word and consider his commands. Sin has darkened their thinking. Second thing it says is that they have hardened hearts. Verse 18, separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. A better way of translating it is that they've hardened their own hearts. Every time someone hears about Jesus and says, no thanks, I don't want to follow him, I don't want to listen to his word, no thanks. Every time our hearts become more and more hardened. Doesn't that describe people you know who have heard about Jesus so many times and you brought them along and they keep saying no, 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 and their hearts are hard. They're separated from the life of God because they've kicked God out and said, God, I don't want anything to do with you. Third thing it says about them is that they have an impure lifestyle. Verse 19, if you read it. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity. They've lost all sensitivity. You know, when you get an injection at the dentist, you're numbed up, you can't feel anything. No sensation there. And spiritually, people can be like that. They go about life and they're not affected by what God says. They're not grieved by sin. They're not troubled by trying to honor him. Live for the here and now. Live for yourself. And indulging in every kind of impurity. Just think about it. Everywhere you look in the world, we see this. Let's just take an obvious one, sex. Our world says you can have sex with whoever you want, whenever you want. It doesn't matter their gender. It doesn't matter whether you met them on a dating app just a few hours ago or whether you're married. None of that matters. You're free to do whatever you want. Don't worry about what God thinks. Make your own choices. As long as everyone agrees and there's no harm, it's fine. Or go and get drunk. It doesn't matter. Just enjoy your life. Or go and chase after money. It's your money. Enjoy it. Use it for yourself. You just think about it. The average person in Sydney has a hard heart to God. Is not considering what God says about their lives. That is sin. And then the next thing it says, verse number four, they're full of greed. See there at the end of verse 19, they're full of greed. A better translation, I think, is always desiring more and more. That's what the translation called the CSB says. Always desiring more and more. You see, sin never satisfies. It's full of empty promises. I ordered Domino's the other day. You go onto the Domino's website, and it promises so much. My kids were hungry. I needed something quick. I know they're quick. Photos looked great. Gee, it looks like a good pizza. they upsold me some kind of bundle deal. And you're thinking, this is going to be awesome. And then it comes. And it is oily, it is gross. Somehow you're hungry but feeling sick at the same time. It doesn't fulfill. And sin is like that. It makes all of these promises, but it never delivers. It never fulfills. It's like drinking water from the ocean if you're thirsty. It just makes you more thirsty. And we see it everywhere. Money. Chase after money. You never have enough. Success. Chase after that in your career. Always wanting to achieve more and more. You never fully achieve and fully be satisfied. Let's go back to sex. Pornography. There's a massive epidemic of pornography. People are absolutely addicted. And the scientists know that it rewires your brain so that you need greater and greater exposure to more vivid imagery. It doesn't satisfy. It is always more and more that you need. It's addictive. People living for sex and pleasure, never fulfilled. That's what sin is like. It does not satisfy. Maybe you're here this morning and someone's invited you along this morning. Maybe you're a visitor here and you're thinking, yeah, I'm living for all kinds of things and nothing seems to fill the hole. Nothing seems to satisfy. It's a pretty intense image here. Darkened hearts, hardened minds, impure, unfulfilled. And the Apostle Paul is saying, if you are a Christian, put that all off. That's your old life before you were a Christian. That's the ways of the world. Put it off and run. Because you have a new identity. You have been forgiven through the blood of Jesus. And so, actually, as Christians, we need to repent of our sin and ask for God's help to put it off and put on the new life. Imagine two kids outside in the backyard playing in the mud, having a great time, absolutely covered in mud, head to toe, all their clothes, dirty as anything. They come to the back door wanting to come inside, and their mum says, "Stop right there, you are not coming inside." Mum makes them go outside, take off their muddy clothes. She grabs the garden hose, washes them down. They are squeaky clean. How ridiculous would it be if those two kids went to put back on those muddy clothes? And that is like you and me when we have been washed clean by the blood of Jesus. But we run back into the mud of sin. When Jesus has given us his righteous clothing, he has clothed us in white, we've been forgiven, and yet we put back on the dirty, muddy clothes of our old self. Look at what Paul says next, verse 20. "That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." What a beautiful picture. Before, your hearts were hard to God, and now they're soft. Now you've been forgiven, and now you want to serve him. And so put off the old life, put on the new. You know, I think Christians need to do this every day. It's not that you become a Christian, and it's at that moment that you put off your old self and put on the new. It's day by day. Not that you have to become a Christian again every day, but day by day, we're coming before God and confessing our sin, saying sorry for the ways that we have lived like people who don't know Jesus, and asking for his forgiveness and help to put on the new self. When we sin, it's like we have a bit of an identity crisis. We forget this new identity. I wonder if you've seen the movie Shawshank Redemption. Greatest movie ever made. You've got to see it if you haven't seen it. There's a character in there called Brooks. Brooks has been in prison for 50 years. 50 years behind bars. And he's finally let free. The problem is, Brooks has been in prison for so long that he keeps forgetting his identity has changed. He keeps forgetting that he's been set free from prison and now he's a free man. And so at work, he's sticking up his hand and asking for permission to go to the toilet. He's waking up in the middle of the night, forgetting where he is. And so often as Christians, we forget our identity. We forget that we have been set free from the dominion of darkness, washed clean by the blood of Christ, and given a new heart and a new self. Well, verse 25 to the end of chapter 4, and actually into chapter 5, is applying this. It's taking this idea of putting off the old self, remembering who you are in Jesus, putting on the new self, and it's applying it to all kinds of areas of life. And we've got to move through it pretty quickly. It says, verse 25, put off lying. Speak truthfully. Stop misrepresenting facts. Stop using AI to write your essays. Put that off. Be a person of Jesus. Put on truthfulness. Verse 26, in your anger, don't sin. There's nothing wrong with being angry if it's righteous anger, but often anger is sinful anger. Put it off. Verse 28, stop stealing. Put that off. That's your old self. You're a Christian. Instead, work hard and share your money with those who are in need. Verse 29, stop letting unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Gossiping, gaslighting, name-calling, sexual jokes, lying, swearing, boasting, grumbling, complaining, and negativity. No, instead, let every word that comes out of your mouth bless, bring life, build up. Verse 31, get rid of the bitterness and the rage and the anger and the brawling and the slander. Instead, put on, verse 32, kindness, compassion, forgiveness. Again, it's not saying do these things so that God will love you, so that you'll be forgiven. It's saying this comes after everything we've seen in Ephesians. Remember the order. It comes after that you've been saved by grace through faith. It comes after that he's made you into his church. It comes after the identity that you have in Christ. In response, throw off your old self and put on this new self. So I wonder how God's Spirit is working in your heart this morning. Maybe there is something in your life that you need to throw off. Baggage from your old identity before you're a Christian. Sins that you've tolerated that God wants you to bring before him and confess. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been chasing after all kinds of things and it does not fulfill. and you know your heart has been hard to God, you've heard about Jesus over and over again, maybe you've even been in this church for years, but you know that your heart is hard, and God is calling you to trust in Jesus. We're going to pray a prayer together. We're going to confess our sins to God. Ask for his forgiveness for the times we've lived like the world or forgotten who we are in Christ, and ask for his help. Let's pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have often gone our own way and rejected your will for our lives. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us, and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you and to please you in every way, for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, God is slow to anger and he is full of compassion. He forgives all who humbly repent and trust in Jesus. And there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.